Yes.
It's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino. Java. Yes.
Shalom, shalom everyone, and welcome to the coffee break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yosef. And we are just so happy to be back with you on this week's coffee break, because last week we were out celebrating. We were out celebrating the Pesach, we were out celebrating Passover, and it's been so blessed. And of course, that weekend was just the start of this wonderful time of unleavened bread, which we have just come out of. But do not be dismayed, because, Yosef, we are now counting the Omer all the way to Shavuot, when we are just in anticipation when the Spirit's going to fall, right? And mm-hmm. So this is the only feast, Shavuot is the only feast that runs over a whole complete month and into a new month. So it runs over a very, very long time period. And so that gives us actually quite a lot of hope. And it actually speaks to us a lot about how Yeshua is just so merciful to us, right? To just get ourselves sorted out and to just be found in his presence, so that we can just wait for his Spirit just to fill us and refresh us every single Shavuot. It's actually so amazing, because we have so much time just to prep our inner rooms, just to prep our hearts and to prep our souls, and just to be, you know, really getting close to him, so that we can fully receive what he wants to give us in Shavuot. So I'm really excited about that. And just as we begin that count to that time, I pray that it also be a time of joy, because, you know, sometimes people get so fixated on, you know, their sin, or, oh, I'm such a mess. But in actual fact, it's in our mess and our brokenness where we most meet the Father and where he responds to us. Right. So I'm really grateful to that. And Yosef, welcome to you. I just really pray that everybody who joins us today is going to be blessed, because I know that what we're going to be talking about today, particularly, we're going to be getting into, again, you know, celebrating first fruits and all those beautiful things and the truth about it. As we get to that point and as we minister those things, Yosef, I know that the Father's just going to touch our lives. But just a little bit of a disclaimer before we get into tonight's coffee break, before Yosef coughs his way over to you all. Yosef is a bit sick at the moment, and shame, he has been struggling for quite some time with being cold and just having a bit of flu. But if you send up a good prayer for him tonight, we might see a miracle before the coffee break ends. So Yosef, welcome to you, and just want to bless you as you just, you know, share with us tonight as well, because I know that the Father had laid so much on your heart, and we're not going to let the fact that, you know, you may sound a bit sick, we're not going to let that deter us. That is commitment. So I commend you and want to say welcome. And how was your Pesach?
Shalom, Aaliyah, and shalom, everybody. I really, really enjoyed Pesach. I think we had a really blessed time with all the brothers and sisters up country. And like Aaliyah says, I have a really blocked nose. I have a really closed chest. So if I sound like I'm struggling for air this evening, I really do apologize. But I know that the Father wants us to be on air this evening, and it's very important that we are obedient to that and just continue to listen to his voice. So like Aaliyah said, we had a blessed time up in Parais in the Free State. In the middle of South Africa, we got to see a lot of the brothers and sisters there. But it was a real blessed time. I really believe the Father had a message for us concerning his son Yeshua, and concerning the work that Yeshua has done. And not only the work that Yeshua has done, but the importance of the work that we have to do still in this generation. So, you know, Aaliyah, I was sitting and I was asking the Father, you know, what do we need to speak about this evening on the coffee break? And I know that there's been a lot of questions since Pesach, and a lot of people have sent emails concerning this day called First Fruits. Many people call it First Sheaf, other people call it First Fruits. And there's a lot of debate about this day. And before we, you know, before we get into it this evening, I actually want us to pray, and then I want us just to discuss this, because I think it's very, very important. It's a very, very significant day. But there is so much confusion that people struggle with. I think what has happened, Aaliyah, is that because we come out of the church, we try to fit Pesach and the, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and First Fruits, we try to fit it all in to the same kind of understanding as Easter, because we want it all to happen on a weekend. But it doesn't all happen on a weekend. And that's not how it works with Yahweh's calendar. So we try to figure it out because we want to, you know, we want to experience, or not experience, but we want to celebrate the resurrection of Messiah Yeshua. We want to celebrate his death. We want to celebrate unleavened bread. But we don't always know how do we fit this all together, because we come out of the church. So because we come out of the church, we try to shove everything into, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, because that's the way that we've been taught. But that's not necessarily how Yahweh's calendar works. And year in and year out, it changes. And because of these changes, we need to be aware of these things and we need to follow his calendar. That doesn't mean that we're out of sync or that it doesn't fit together. It always fits together. So I pray that by the end of this evening, you'll have a deeper understanding of this day, of how to celebrate it, but also how significant it is for us in this generation. And that's my prayer. So Leah, will you please pray for us this evening?
Yes. Father, we just thank you so much this evening that you are such a good God. And we just want to say thank you. Thank you that you are such a good Father, and that you are such a good King, and that you're so amazing and merciful and just filled with love and compassion to us. And I pray that we would just draw closer to you during this coffee break, that we would feel your power and your presence, and because that's what it's all about. We just need to have your presence with us. And Father, I just really pray that your presence would just saturate everything that we do tonight. And may we just experience your goodness and your grace upon our lives. I pray such a blessing over Yosef as he comes just to share your word tonight as well, that Father, you will touch him and that you will heal him, and that he will experience that healing from deep within him. We thank you for this, and we just commit this time to you. We pray that everybody will be so blessed, Father, that we will all receive something new and be refreshed in our innermost being. We thank you, Yeshua, and we just give you all the praise. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, Leah, we've celebrated, like I said, we just celebrated Pesach, and we celebrated the first day of unleavened bread. And yesterday, on the Shabbat, was actually the seventh day of unleavened bread. So the scriptures tell us that Passover is not a holy high day Sabbath. It's not a Sabbath day, but the day after, as we go from sunset into the new day, it begins the first day of unleavened bread. And that day is a high Sabbath, as well as the seventh day of unleavened bread, which was yesterday, becomes a high Sabbath. Now, the day after, and this is where it gets confusing. You see, the problem is that we have this mindset in the church, and we try to fit, like I said, everything in to the weekend, because we have this understanding that, hey, you know what, there was Good Friday, and then we have Sunday where Yeshua rose from the grave. But Yeshua didn't die on the Friday. Yeshua actually died on the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And that's how we can get 3 days and three nights into that whole narrative. And that's why it's so important. So many, many believers, Aaliyah, many Messianic believers have also got a misunderstanding of this day of first fruits. So because they read in the scripture the day after the Sabbath, it actually talks about the day after the weekly Sabbath, not the day after the high Sabbath, the day after the weekly Sabbath that occurs. So in other words, if Passover falls on a Wednesday, then you will celebrate first fruits on this Sunday after the weekly Sabbath. So if it fell on a Wednesday like it did when Yeshua died, then that's why Yeshua rose on a Sunday, or on the first day of the week, which was actually the Saturday. Remember, it was the Shabbat night. So it's the first day of the week. It's not a Sunday. It's the first day of the week that he rose from the grave. And that's how we get 3 days and three nights, because of how it works out. Because Passover fell on the Wednesday. So this time, Passover didn't fall like that. Passover actually fell on the Saturday. That was the actual correct date of Passover. We celebrated it, unfortunately, the night before because of logistics. But the actual date for Passover was on the Saturday. So we need to understand this. It's very, very important that we understand this, which means that it pushes the day of first fruits to this Sunday, which is the first Sunday after the weekly Sabbath, which was yesterday. Does that make sense to everybody?
So then the day of first fruit was today.
That's right.
Well, today, obviously, it's now evening for us, but I mean, there are people still in the day.
That's right. So those of you in the States, you will be celebrating today as the day of first fruits. And this isn't a high Sabbath. It's just a day that we celebrate because of the significance of this day. Yesterday was the high Sabbath. And it's very important that we understand this, because there is a false understanding that many people have taken from the Pharisees, where they celebrated immediately the day after, which is false, and it doesn't work out like that. The only reason why everybody always falls and thinks that it's immediately after is because Yeshua actually died on a Wednesday, right? And then it falls in, because then the Shabbat would have been on the Saturday, and the following day would have been the day of first fruits, because it was this after the day of the weekly Sabbath. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So just to clarify then, on that, in that here, that and time when Yeshua passed away, he passed away on the Wednesday, and then he went into the tomb late on Wednesday, as it was becoming Wednesday night, which would have started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They went all the way through to Thursday night, right? You know, and then of course then first fruits would have started on the Saturday evening through the whole Sunday up until the Sunday evening. And that is why when Miriam and the woman went to the tomb, it says that it was on the first day of the week, but actually that's why he said to her, amen, that she couldn't touch him. But it was because the Saturday was going out, the end of the Sabbath was going out into, then, you know, obviously it was Saturday night, but it was still going to become the first day of the week.
And I think that's why it's
so confusing to people, because when we have to wrap our minds around, you know, the biblical way of telling time, and it's very, very vastly different from the way that we tell time today. And I think that many of us, especially those of us listening to the Coffee Break, we've been keeping Shabbat for quite some time and probably many years. So that kind of way of thinking isn't foreign to us. But yet, just to wrap our minds around this truth that you're saying now, you know, especially because obviously first fruits would have fallen out a whole week later. And that's just because of the logistics of Pesach falling on the Sabbath last week. And so obviously then it couldn't have been. So it's very, very interesting. And I think it's just a bit of a mind shift that we need to have according to the way that time is told.
Right. So on the Passover of Messiah Yeshua, when he died, like Aaliyah said, it just so worked out that that first day of the week would have been that time. But if it was any other time, and we know that it couldn't have been any other time, because that was the perfect time that the Father had designated for Yeshua to die. And that's why first fruits this week, or first fruits this year, pardon me, is now a whole week later. It's today, and it's not last Sunday, as the Pharisees and so forth would have been keeping it. And the reason for that, brothers and sisters, as you're going to get to see, is that if you calculate it according to the way that the Pharisees do, then you'll always have a fixed date for Shavuot. But in the scriptures, there is never a fixed date for Shavuot. You count the 50 days of the Omer, and it's always year in and year out, they would celebrate it on a different day. But the Jewish people and the rabbis have calculated it down to a T so that they have a calendar. That's not biblical. In the Bible, the day of Shavuot is never ever pinpointed down to a specific day. We have to count the 50 days, and then it lands always on a different day whenever it happens. So it will always be from the first Sunday after the weekly Sabbath that we count, and then we begin our count. So brothers and sisters, I want to also share this with you about, you know, about this day called First Fruits, and it's very, very important. You know, they never celebrated this day, Aaliyah, until they entered the Promised Land. And do you know why they never celebrated it until they entered the Promised Land?
My best guess would be for two reasons. One, well, obviously they weren't harvesting their fields and they weren't planting, and so you couldn't take, it's like being retrenched, you don't have a job, you can't tithe, so it's like they couldn't take the first of what they received up. And also then they obviously didn't have a set temple where Yahweh said in the word that there would be a specific place where he would put his name specifically, and that nowhere else could they offer anything besides that specific place where he designated. And that was obviously the temple in Jerusalem, where they would come and present their first fruits. So obviously my best guess would be, and I haven't seen the notes, that they weren't planting and harvesting, and so they couldn't present that kind of offering. And also, okay, they had the tabernacle, but there was a place that Yahweh, you know, long to put his name forever, and that was Jerusalem, where the temple was. So that's my guess, Yosef. Do I get a star?
You get a star, definitely. So the Bible tells us that Yahweh blessed them to have an omer of manna. Yahweh gave them manna from heaven, and it was the same amount. An omer was a measurement that they had to use. So the same amount that they were given as manna was to be the omer that they would have to then take when they entered the Promised Land, and that would be when they were able to reap the land and take of the first fruits of the land, and then they would have to present it to the priest, and then they would have to bring the first of their harvest, so that the rest of the harvest that would come in at a later stage would then be sanctified and blessed unto Yahweh. It's actually quite amazing. And we read about it in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 10. And I'd like to read this to you. So just give me some time, because like I say, my nose is blocked. So speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you, and you reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits. In other words, the sheaf of grain, the first heads that would pop up, right? And it says of your harvest, and you bring that to the high priest, which is awesome too. And it goes on and it says, and he shall wave the sheaf, which is an omer, right? Which is, an omer is plus minus around about 2 pounds of grain, right? We don't really use pounds in South Africa, so I would say it's around about maybe like 3 kilograms or somewhere around there. I don't even know the difference, right? So 2 pounds of grain. And it says that you will give this to the priest, and then he will wave the sheaf before Yahweh for you, so that you, as Yahweh's people, can be accepted. And it, now this is where it says, on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And this is not talking again, listen here, it's not saying the day after the high Shabbat, because that would be Shabbaton. This is saying, no, it's the day of the weekly Sabbath, which is the Shabbat, right? That's the word that's been used here. So it's talking very importantly that we understand this reasoning of time. And it says, now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you must offer, this is where it gets interesting, you must offer a male lamb 1 year old without defect for a burnt offering to Yahweh. Its grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. Now it's always interesting how these work. A lamb, fine flour mixed with oil, is speaking very specifically about something, right? And it says, and this will be an offering by fire to Yahweh for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine. In other words, you take a hin, which is another measurement of wine, and you mix this is all together, right? So it's with the oil, with the lamb, with the flour, everything needs to be together. And it says, until the same day, until you brought it in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread nor roasted grain. Now that's why we haven't been eating any bread. We've been having unleavened bread for 7 days. And it says, no bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. So this is something that we should be doing, and we should be doing it unto Yahweh. And the question many people ask, Lee, is how then do we do this today? How then do we present unto Yahweh our first fruits? And I think it's got to do with the first fruits of your produce, the first fruits of what you bring in. So maybe you're a farmer, I don't know, maybe you're not. Most of us aren't farmers. Most of us don't have produce out there that we can go and take. So it's got to be of what we earn, what we receive, and what we get from Yahweh, our income. So that's why specifically during Passover, it is the time where we're supposed to put aside a certain amount of our income throughout the year. We're supposed to put aside so that when the festival comes and we need to go, maybe in those days they would have to go to Jerusalem. We don't maybe have the finances to always go to Jerusalem, so we go to camps, or we go to different places. So what Yahweh is trying to say is, you need to save up throughout the year so that you have finances to go to Passover. You do not have an excuse, because you have 12 months to put that money aside.
But also, yes, if one of the things that's big about this particular feast of first fruits is presenting the first fruits of our money, yes, that we have, yes, and presenting it, because at that stage it was the produce that made the money. You know, if we had a farm today, we could gladly present that produce as the first fruits of what we have, because we know that that's the produce that they had, the grapes, the grain, the barley, the wheat, all of it was made into food to sustain the family. What else did you really need, you know? And so also then it could be traded to buy, you know, clothing or garments that you could make for yourself, or shoes, all those kind of things. Their careers were farming, because they were agricultural people. That was how it was back in the day, and that's who Israel was, and that's what they were doing. But of course, we know that times have changed, and that we ourselves have careers, lawyers, accountants, you know, bookkeepers, I don't know, we're different things. And so the first fruits, and it's essential for our understanding, and we have to say it, that the first fruits that needs to be presented is the first fruits of your money that needs to be presented. Now is the time time to present those first fruits.
That's right.
And so, you know, the Jewish people understand that very well. And that is why at certain times, like the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Shavuot, all those times, I would see collections being taken up, not like they do in the church, because it would be, hey, let us know and then put it in the bank account of the particular synagogue or shul. And then the shul withdraws that money and then distributes it amongst their outreach programs or the poor programs that they have or the widow programs that they have, or they would celebrate something and then normally, you know, it would be 250 rand person to come. They would say it's for free, you know. So it was a time when I saw that, and people would get envelopes where they put money in and you put it aside. And I used to see that your name was on the envelope. It wasn't like, oh, just take an envelope. It would say Aliyah so-and-so on the envelope. And so because it's a command that still should be working in our time. And the first fruits understanding is not something that is easily practiced by people today, Yosef. You know, people get a new job. And when we get a new job, in fact, like when we have our first month, there is a first fruit offering that you should be giving. When we sell something, Yahweh blesses us, there is these first fruit offerings that we should be giving and tithes that we should be giving and things that we should be giving. And that should go to the work of the real priests of Yeshua today, not to a shul that's doing stuff like that. It needs to go to somewhere where Yeshua is preached, wherever that may be, whether it be in India or wherever. It's where the Father leads that first fruit offering, but we all should give it. And it's so important because it's so easy for us to turn around and say, oh, well, Yeshua became my first fruit offering. But really, did Yeshua become our tithes? Well, no, he didn't. You know, he said, and we see this working throughout the book of Acts and with the apostles and how they were selling everything they had and laid it at the feet of the apostles. They never said to the apostles, and I just want to add this, they never said to the apostles, hey, let me know what you do with my money. You know, they came and they put the and said, here we go. And I find that and I find that people will come and they will give something and they'll say, oh, the Father told me to give this. I don't actually know what you're going to do with it, or maybe you can do this with it, but whatever. Is that really the way Yahweh wants us to give? The Bible says, be a cheerful giver, and also just release it. Don't even remember you gave someone money. You know what? If you gave someone a tithe or something, walk away from it and forget about it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
You know, Leah, you said that Yeshua has fulfilled these festivals and he's fulfilled these things through his death and resurrection. But we have said this before on the coffee break that, yes, Yeshua has fulfilled these things, but we need to apply these things to our lives. Amen. So in other words, if we say, oh, well, Yeshua has become my sin offering, but I never ever take what that sin offering means and apply it to my life, I'm never ever going to live a redeemed life. The same thing applies with Yeshua being our first fruits. We can turn around and say, oh, but Yeshua has been my first fruits. But then because he's been my first fruits, it gives me the life that I need to live, and it enables me to give of myself and become a person that gives of my first fruits. That's what it's about. Just like he gave his life up so that he could become the first fruits to be resurrected among many, so we also need to understand that it takes something from us. And Yeshua, how else does the work of the ministry continue if we do not do what Yahweh has required of us to on these specific times? For example, Pesach, when we put away a certain amount of money every month so that we can go to these festivals. Or now, when it's first fruit, if we do not do these things, the work of the ministry cannot continue.
And how about giving it to a missionary couple, a couple that's going to share the good news? How blessed is it to actually be able to give, Yosef, to be able to give? I mean, if I know for myself, and because I know my own life, but if I had a farm, if you know, I was living in those days and the Father blessed me with an inheritance. Look, they didn't even earn that inheritance, man. When they crossed the border and got into the promised land, Yahweh gave them houses and vineyards and places. He says that you didn't plant these things. I'm just giving it to you. They wiped out all these people, and think about it. It's actually quite crazy if you think about it like that. They wiped out Canaanites and Hittites and Perizzites and all these people and took their homes, took their land, took their things. Yahweh actually gave those things to him. Think about it rationally. That's actually literally what happened, because Yahweh said, I gave you this place. You didn't plant these vineyards, you didn't whatever. So imagine you get a home and you get a piece of land and this is your inheritance and you work it hard. How blessed, how joyful, how awesome it is to look at it all and to say, wow, I can literally give these grapes, these grains, this barley, this wheat, these apples, these figs, I can go and I can give it to the Father. And what happened? You know what? Let's also think about it very practically. You go and you give that at the temple. Yahweh doesn't come down and sit on the Ark of the Covenant and bite into a raisin or an apple. Who's eating that raisins and those apples and that honey and that figs and that grain and that wheat and that barley? The priests that are serving there. So the same applies today, that that's how it should be. And people are like, no, well, you see, we don't have a temple, so we don't have to give it. That's irrespective. It's the truth of the matter is that the priests were the ones that Yahweh said. What did Yahweh say, Yosef? Yahweh said that the priests that serve him, the Levites, would have no inheritance among the people. Yahweh alone would be their inheritance, which meant that think about it rationally, Yosef. If you own a house today, there's probably somebody that's chosen almost as a Levite that serves Yahweh. They may never own a house of their own because Yahweh chose them to serve. That's exactly how it was then. Yahweh said he chose the Levites and he chose them, and that they wouldn't have a field, Joseph. They wouldn't be able to offer, you know, grain and barley and grapes. They wouldn't have that because they didn't have that, because their portion was to serve at the temple. And then obviously they went to go live in the cities with the people because they did live, but then their task was to teach the people, the Benjamites, wherever they were living. The Levites had to teach those people while they weren't doing their temple service, you know, how to keep the Torah and everything. But everything was borrowed. So they weren't working land. They weren't having a deep inheritance that was physical like the people were. But Yahweh said that he was their inheritance. And that is why he made that way, even through the offerings that is presented to Yahweh. Think about it. He actually made the way for the priests that really served him to be taken care of through the offerings that people presented to Yahweh. And so how joyful should it be to know that it's actually so multifaceted and multi-layered when we present a first fruit?
You know, as the priest was taken care of, the priest would then take care of the people.
Amen.
That's how Yahweh works. So they would be taken care of by the people and by the offerings that the people would bring. But they would then teach the people the Torah. They would help the people understand the difference between the holy and the profane. And you know, Leah, you said something about, yeah, but you know, we don't have a temple. But the truth of the matter is that the priesthood has changed from the Levitical back to the Melchizedekian. Mm. So because of that, even though we don't have a temple, these things still need to be done. It doesn't mean that we go back to the old way of doing things, but first fruits, as we're going to see as we come back after the break, first fruits and the significance of first fruits is found all the way through the scriptures right up until the end of Revelation, where it says that the 144,000 are the first fruits from among men. So first fruits and the concept of first fruits is very dear to Yeshua's heart, because he became the first fruits among many who would be resurrected at a later stage and also become the first priests and the first who would serve for him and in that millennial kingdom. That's what it's all about. And I think this is where many people get confused. Many people get so confused and misunderstand the scriptures and what Yeshua is actually doing. So I pray that when we come back, that we'll be able to talk about this and that will really make sense to you.
So we are going to play a song that was really, really on my heart today. And it's called How Great Is Our God. You all know it by Chris Tomlin, but this is the world version where you have people from different nations just singing together about how great Yahweh is. And this song is really on my heart today because it's going to be crazy and amazing when every single nation and tongue just praises him and says how great he is. And that's what it should be about. So enjoy the song and we will continue when we get back.
kelapan telah sirna, sujudlah padanya, sujudlah padanya. Nasbuh
That was such a great song. Welcome back to the Coffee Break with myself, Aaliyah, and with Yusuf. And we are speaking today about the first fruit. And so don't worry if you missed it. There are so many amazing truths that are just relevant in this day of first fruits that we can apply to our lives every single day. If you're still in it and you're still in, like, you know, Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, wherever you are in the world, you can still celebrate first fruit. So Yusuf, what is it that we can apply to our lives every single day about this festival?
No, Leah, I think that we need to understand that Yeshua became both our high priest, he became the sacrifice, but he also became the first fruit, the presentation of the first fruit. We know that Yeshua is our priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So it's important that we understand how Yeshua fulfills the day, and how the words that have been spoken about in scriptures, I think in the scriptures, many people are ignorant of those words that you even spoke about where Yeshua appears to Mary on the first day. Remember on the first day of the week, and he's there and he says to her clearly in John chapter 20 and verse 16, he says this. Actually, it starts off with Yeshua, and Yeshua said to her, Miriam, she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means my dear rabbi. And the reason why these sentences are actually in the scripture is because Yahweh wants you and I to understand, I believe, that his first appearance has to do with the fulfillment right there and then of the first sheaf. Remember we said that the priest had to wave that presentation and offer it unto Yahweh as a presentation made by fire, and it had to be a sweet aroma. So to Yeshua, as he became our first fruits, he had to ascend. It was an elevation offering that had to go up to the Father. So he had just resurrected and he had now just become the first fruits. So she couldn't touch him, because if she touched him, she would have made that sacrifice defiled. So he says to her clearly, and he says to her in verse 17, Yeshua said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend, and he uses those words, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my Elohim and your Elohim. And Yeshua says specifically, I haven't yet ascended, because he was about to fulfill that ceremony of the first sheaf. And that's so important for us to understand. And within scripture, Aaliyah, we always see the heavenly reality and the earthly playing out. And Yeshua fulfills this. He fulfilled, we spoke, you know, on Passover, he fulfilled the sacrifice of the lamb to the T. He fulfilled the duty of the high priest, and he took that over to the T. So it's very important that we see this. But we, like you said, we need to apply this to our lives. We cannot just look at the work of Yeshua and say to ourselves, okay, Yeshua did all this stuff, but we're not going to do anything about it, and just take all the reward for everything that he did, but we never actually go and give our first fruit. It's so, so important. So I wanted to just touch on this briefly, because I think it's very, very important. You know, Yeshua says that we are to conform to his image. That is what the whole work of Messiah Yeshua is. It's about us conforming to his image. And in the book of Revelation, it tells us that those who conform to his image become a type of first fruit. They will be the first to resurrect among many brethren. And it says specifically that they become the first fruits among many people, many men or women upon the earth. So Messiah says, it says in the scriptures that Messiah Yeshua is the head of the body, but he is also the head of his entire ecclesia, his whole, the whole body of believers. And it says that he is also the firstborn of the congregation, and that we are part of that congregation. So if we conform to his image, his desire is for us also to one day resurrect, for us also to be part of that first resurrection. But the only way that we become part of that first resurrection is if we mature. And that's where the body gets it wrong. So many people say, stop at salvation. And they say, okay, well, that's all I have. Other people's theology is also warped. And they think that, okay, well, first fruits talks about the entire body of believers resurrecting. But it can't be. Because if we have a 1,000-year reign, Aaliyah, and then what's going to happen to when Yeshua sets up his kingdom? What about all the people during that 1,000-year reign that also get saved? So we know that this first resurrection is a very, very specific group of people that Yeshua designates to become priests and sit with him and rule and reign during the 1,000 years. So it's a first fruit. It's those who have first listened to the message, taken the message to heart, allowed the message to transform them, and thereby conform to Yeshua's image, and they actually become priests in the order of righteousness. The rest come later. And that's why, Elia, the truth of the matter is that there is not just one harvest spoken about in the scriptures. The church will tell us, oh, well, you know what? We have the rapture and that's it. But in the scriptures, it tells us that we have the barley harvest, we have the wheat harvest, and then we have the grape. So these first fruits form part of that barley harvest. The bride and those that will come after that listen to the proclamation and the teaching of these forerunners, they will become the wheat harvest. Those that don't listen to any of the message and they reject the message of Messiah Yeshua will form part of the grape harvest. And Yeshua says very clearly, he says that I will prune and I will help and I will instruct my people. Those who reject my message will be thrown into the winepress of my wrath. And I will trample them under feet. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Go and read what it says in the book of Isaiah, where it says, who is this coming from Edom? And it says, it is you, Messiah Yeshua. And it says, why are your garments spoiled with blood and red on it? And it says, because I have trampled the nations underfoot because of the fierceness of my wrath. So that's what it says. And we always think there's just this one, you know, there's one rapture, but there's these three. And Yeshua wants us to be part of the first resurrection, because it's those of the first resurrection that become the priests that will rule and reign with him for 1,000 years and teach the rest of the world the truth of the instructions between what's right and wrong. So first fruits is so, so important, because it's first fruits that we see. We see the first fruits in the 144, but we also see the first fruits where Paul says that you as believers have been given the first fruits of the Ruach. We have been given the first infilling of the Spirit of Yahweh that we will get at a fuller, more powerful way at the end of days.
So it's not a rapture, and that's what people Amen. Need to know. It's not a rapture, but there is a harvest.
Yes, and there's so a harvest.
People need to know that it's not a rapture, because a lot of people still believe that there's going to be this rapture and that they're going to be taken away. And that's not actually the truth.
Amen. And you know, Leah, in the same way that Yeshua died, so I believe that this first fruit group of people will also seek to die a spiritual death. And they die not only a spiritual death daily, but we see that they also die and they resurrect 3.5 days later. So it's this conforming continually to the image of Messiah Yeshua. So we've spoken about in other teachings too, we've spoken about forerunners, we've spoken about the bridegroom, and we've spoken about the bride and those that are, what's the word I'm looking for? The friends of the bridegroom. We've spoken about this. So I believe that the friends of the bridegroom, those that are listening right now, you're listening even to this coffee break message, you've been listening to all the teachings, and you're taking what the Father is speaking and you're applying it to your life, and daily, on a daily basis, you are conforming to His image. Mm. You've come out of the church, you've come out of the places of spiritual death, and you're moving onward. I believe those are the people that become the first fruits. Mm. They are the ones that are maturing. It's all got to do, we got to think about this whole concept of first fruits like you would think about a man who goes out to sow seed. Mm. And that's what Yeshua says. Some, he goes and he sows the seed. Yeshua has sown seed in our lives, and he looks into our lives to see where we are and how we are growing. And then he comes, and it says very clearly, and this is where many people get it wrong. In Revelation, it says that Messiah Yeshua comes with a sickle in his hand, and he's the one that takes that harvest, the grapes, and he throws it into the winepress. So it's Yeshua too that looks at us, and he takes the barley, he will take the wheat, and he will say to each one of us, well done, my good and faithful servant. So the first fruits, I believe the first fruits that we see in Scripture too were the disciples. They were the first fruits of the seed that was sown through the proclamation that Yeshua preached. Mm. And they took the word and it took root in their lives and it brought forth a harvest. But then they went out and they did exactly the same, and there became a multitude of people that believed. Mm. So the same applies today. Yeshua has forerunners, brothers and sisters, that will become a first fruit unto him. And they will proclaim the word with great zeal, so that the greater harvest, the wheat harvest, the big, big harvest can come in. That's why Yeshua says that the laborers are few. And we need to understand this. The laborers are few. We can't think that every single person is going to be part of that first fruit mm-hmm. harvest. He says clearly, the laborers are few, and the work is plenty, but the laborers are few. So, when we understand this and we see the fulfillment that Yeshua has done, but also how we are still going to see a fulfillment of a greater first fruits in the final days, it all fits together. And I know this evening maybe it's been up and down, and yeah, because I haven't been feeling well and stuff, but I really do believe that First Fruits, Leah, is very, very important. It's a day that we should commemorate, and we should look at it and say, Father, what have I been blessed with over the years? And you know, we mentioned First Fruits and giving, and there's a debate about, you know, how much do I give? What must I give? Is it a percentage of my entire year's income, or is it just a tenth that I must give? But the actual fact of the matter is, they would give a total income of the entire, it would be the first fruits of what was to come in. So they would look at the harvest and they would bring the first of that harvest, because this is just one harvest. There's many more to come. So we need to ask ourselves, are we giving unto Yahweh's work in the way that He wants? Some of us give when we can, but this is a time where Yahweh has designated for us to give of our first fruits to continue the work of the ministry, which is so important at this time that we are alive in.
And exactly like we said, it's about giving where the Father has told you to give, and where you are gleaning, where you know that there are true priests that are serving the Father. And that's why it's important to be in prayer about that, and to know exactly what the Father wants you to do. And it goes for all of us, that's how we need to be living. But I think that's a practical reality that we can take from First Fruits and apply to our lives all the time, as to you know, where does Father want me to give? And you know, I was just thinking of even today, someone was having a conversation where I was, and I was listening, and they were saying that, you know, they don't have money, but they are very good at music, you know, and they play music and they love to do that. So what they've started to do is, because they don't have finances and they're struggling on their own, is that they take their musical instrument and they've started working with radio stations. And when a radio station has like their pledge where they're raising money for themselves, that person will go and will literally minister for 2-3 hours on their keyboard, singing at these pledge events and worshiping the Father and leading people in worship and using their skills to be able to better and empower what's actually happening. And that person was saying that's what they believe God has called them to do, you know, and it's a giving of themselves, because they themselves are struggling and don't have much food at home, but they're still giving out of that. And I believe that's the message, you know. That was the widow that gave that little bit that Yeshua saw and said, she's given more than all of these. Why? Because she's given out of her need. She's given out of the you know, little bit that she has. And I know that truth is so relevant. It's about giving from within ourselves. It's about giving if we don't have to give physically, because some people and some of us can't. It's about then giving of yourself, and with the sense of being joyful and cheerful about it. And when you see other people prosper because of what you've given, to rejoice in their prosperity, because it's not about this thing of like, oh, well, I gave there, and oh, look at me, and that person's prospering, or dictating, like we said, how this one or that radio station or that person must use what you give. It's like, just do it, man. And I believe that those are all the first fruits things. But there is so much that we can just learn from the scriptures and know what it means in context, but then also what it means for us practically and what it can mean for us spiritually and how to apply this in our lives. And so, Yosef, I just really want to say thank you for sharing this with us, because it's really, really special, actually. And anybody that loves to give, or anybody that just loves to give gifts or just loves to do things, can just look at this and say, hey, look at what Yeshua has given me. You know, because Yeshua is our first fruits, and what He gave us was His death and then His resurrection, and that promise of hope that we will be resurrected as well. And I believe that that's part of the hope of first fruits, is that reminder that, you know, Yeshua didn't go to the grave and stay there, that He did rise, and he is, you know, our first fruits. Like you said, He was the first fruits from among the dead. He's the first fruits for all of us, because He rose, we're going to rise. And so then we can be offered all of ourselves to the Father when we one day are standing before Him and He says, hey, what did you do with the life I gave you? Hopefully we will have a basket of spiritual first fruits that we take with us to say, Abba Father, this is what I gave, this is what I did. And I'm not talking physically, I'm saying, Abba Father, I just spent my whole life, I laid my life upon the altar. I want to be so empty when you get before the Father that you have nothing left to give. Because we should just empty ourselves here and giving everything as though, imagine if we lived as though everything we had was a first fruit offering. The world would be changed.
And earlier you said, pardon me, you said that we need to, you know, from the inside, what do we have? And, you know, I'm reminded of that scripture that says that we will produce a 30-fold, a 60-fold, or a 100-fold harvest. And I really do believe that that's what the Father wants. I look at it and I see that it's kind of like Yeshua is looking for believers who will have a harvest of righteousness in their hearts when he comes to reap. And that's what he wants. He wants to reap from our hearts, and he wants to take what's in our hearts. And unfortunately, if we are not spending time with him, if we are not growing, if we're not maturing inside our hearts, there's going to be nothing. There's going to be no first fruits to offer. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says that we are supposed to have the fruits of the Spirit, but we're also supposed to be like a tree planted beside streams of living water, bearing fruit in season and out of season. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So if we're in Messiah Yeshua and we have his life flowing Spirit in us, then we should always be ready to give a harvest of what's inside of us. And that's why, unfortunately, there are many today who confess Messiah Yeshua with their mouths, but their hearts are far from him. And because of that, there isn't a harvest in their lives. So those who have a harvest are going to be the first fruits of Messiah Yeshua, because they've listened to his voice, they've matured when they needed to mature, and they've marched forward triumphantly. So Yeshua is looking, brothers and sisters, today, right now, where you are sitting, and he's looking into your heart, because it says this: we have been called to bear fruit. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. That's what Yeshua said. So if we are a true disciple of Messiah Yeshua, then there will always be a harvest. There will always be a first fruit. In season, out of season, we will always be ready to give from what is inside of our hearts. And that's my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, that we will be ready, that we will be counted worthy to take partakers of that first resurrection. That's my prayer for you.
Amen. We're going to go to our final song of the evening. And during the song, you know, this is the time where we do prayer requests. And so the song is called How Great Is Your Love by Phil Wickham. Very similar to the first song that we played, actually, the first title. But during this song, we're going to play this song and just allow the truth of this song, how great the Father's love is for us, just to minister to our hearts. And then when we come back, we're going to pray together. And so now is the time to put your prayer request down, please. As we always say, make it visible that we know it's a prayer request. It's not just a statement. It's not just, hey, I want to say this. Just be specific. And we will be able to pray together when we come back. So enjoy the song. And yeah, let's pray together on the other side of this.
From the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? You bore my weakness, you took my shame. You gave your life. has never been, there will never be a God like you, a love so true. There has never been, there will never be a God like you, a love so true.
Father, we just want to thank you tonight for that song. Father, we want to thank you that the words of that song, Father, rings true when it says, how great is your love for us. Father, we thank you that you sent Yeshua to die to take away the sins of the world. Father, to every person who believes in him, Father, it says they have the right to be called sons of Yahweh. And Father, my prayer this evening, Father, is that we will take hold, Father, of that work that Yeshua has done, that we will run the race that he set before us with endurance, that we will never look back, Father, but that we will look ahead. I thank you, Father, that you are raising up a great army of people, Father, upon this earth to take the word of Yahweh, Father, in this final generation, to proclaim it, Father, even when nations, Father, and institutions come up against us, Father, and come up against the true children of Yahweh. We know, Father, that your word will go forth, and Father, that nothing can prevent it. We thank you, Father, that your word says, Father, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And I want to pray this evening, Father, that we will continue to be the light, Father, as you sent your son, Yeshua, who was the light of the world, into the world, Father. I pray that as we have the same spirit that rose Yeshua from the grave living in us, that we will be the light, Father, to the nations, that we will be the people that you want us to be. I pray, Father, that every place on which our foot shall tread, Yahweh, that you will give it unto us, that we will go forth boldly, Father, and never ever shy away from what we have been called to do, what we have been called to say, Father, and what we have been called to do in this generation. So, Father Yahweh, I thank you for every single person that has joined us this evening. I pray blessings upon them and their family, Father. May this be a week of rejoicing, Father. May it be a week of knowing, Yahweh, that they are free in you, Father, that you have set them free to live the life, Father, that you have called them to live. And we pray for them in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just want to lift Yosef up to you this evening, Father, and we just stretch out our hands towards him tonight, Father Yahweh. I know that there are many people who are praying for his healing, and Father, we just really want to come and commit him to you, Father. I know that there are many things that you have laid in his heart to do, Father, at the moment, and I just know that it's hard, Father, when we're not feeling well. So I pray, Father, for a fullness of strength within his body in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, I pray for your healing. I pray, Father, that his immune system will come in line with the perfect will of Messiah Yeshua, and that tonight he will experience relief, Father, and that he will experience the fullness of your complete healing as you just touch his body and his life. And I thank you for him tonight, Father, and I just pray your blessing over him in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Hey. Brothers and sisters, we're gonna play out this evening with a song called With You.
Hey, I also want to say goodbye. Oh, it's been so good to join you all this evening, and we just love seeing so many of you and your names on the chat tonight. And just thank you so much for each of you. Thank you for joining us. We really pray that you will have a Shavuot Tov. I really pray that this season of Passover has been a really great one, has been a blessed one. And I know for many of us that we actually have the sense within ourselves that we have entered into a new season. And I definitely felt that when the new biblical year happened and when it started, I just felt that this is a new time and a new beginning. And I know that many of us feel that way. So I pray a blessing over you as you enter into a new season in your own life. May Yeshua just become more and more glorified through you so that he can just be revealed to the world. And we are so grateful for each of you. Have a Shavuot Tov, blessings in abundance. And on a side note from me, please do send up a prayer for me this week as I start my new radio show on Thursday. And lots of work being going into that and lots of training. So I just really want Yeshua just to be glorified in everything. And so be good, be awesome, be blessed, and we will see you next week. Shalom, shalom.